Mike DeGubin. Hello, friend, and greetings once again in the wonderful, blessed name of our Lord Jesus Christ. For the bread of God is he which cometh down from heaven, and giveth life unto the world. And Jesus said unto them, I am the bread of life. He that cometh to me shall never hunger, and he that believeth on me shall never thirst. That's in the Gospel of John in the New Testament, chapter 6, verse 33 and 35. And beloved, the Lord Jesus Christ is the only one who can satisfy the hunger and the thirst of the human spirit. Only the Lord Jesus Christ can fill the emptiness of your inner life and can make your life worth living, give you purpose and reason for living. How wonderful it is to know him as your personal Savior. Those of you who have a Bible, if you would turn with me to the book of Genesis, the first book of the Bible, chapter 3, that's where we're continuing our Bible study today, as we're studying about the seed of the woman. A very remarkable statement, beloved, because we humans know, our doctors can tell us, that the seed comes from the man. It does not come from the woman. In repopulating the earth, in reproduction of human beings, the seed is from the man. The woman has the egg, and the seed has to be implanted in the egg to produce a child. But God spoke concerning the seed of the woman. And this is a remarkable statement. And that's what we're leading up to in our study. Now, beginning with verse 6 of Genesis chapter 3, when the woman saw that the tree was good for food, that it was pleasant to the eyes, and a tree to be desired to make one wise, she took of the fruit thereof, and did eat, and gave also unto her husband with her, and he did eat, and the eyes of them both were opened. Now, it doesn't mean that they were blind and could not see, but what it means is that their understanding was enlightened. It means that they now knew right from wrong. Before, they were in a state of innocence, and they didn't understand right from wrong. There was only one command given to them, and that was the command given them by God not to eat of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. That's all they had to obey. That's all they had to do was to not eat of that tree. But Eve was deceived by the serpent. We've already discussed how that the serpent was a beautiful creature, not a snake like we know a snake to be today, but it was a beautiful creature there in the Garden of Eden. And we've already discussed how that Revelation chapter 12 and verse 9, the last book of the Bible, tells us that the serpent was Satan who spoke through that creature, that beautiful creature called the serpent. Satan was the one who was communicating with Eve through that creature, who deceived Eve and led her into the temptation of disobedience to God, so that she was deceived and beguiled and did not fully understand that she was doing wrong when she disobeyed God. But the Bible makes it clear that Adam was not deceived. We've already read that passage of Scripture in the New Testament, how that Eve was deceived, but Adam was not deceived. He knew that he was doing wrong, and he deliberately disobeyed God. And thus the Bible tells us in Romans chapter 5 and verse 8, wherefore as by one man sin entered into the world, and death came by sin. And so death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned. And beloved, that's where death came from. And that's why death is that which we experience today. Now, the results of sin begin to be revealed here in the latter part of verse 6 through verse 19 of Genesis chapter 3. We see that Eve gave unto her husband with her, and he did eat. How many times you or I have done things that were wrong, and we tried to get somebody else to go along with us in our act of wrongdoing? And this is a common thing that occurs every day. And verse 7, the eyes of them both were opened, their understanding was opened, they now knew right from wrong, they knew that they were naked. Before, they had not known that they were naked. They had no shame. They were in a state of innocence, much like a small child that does not know that it's wrong to run around without any clothes on. They're in a state of innocence, and Adam and Eve were in a state of innocence, but now they knew they were naked. Now they had the knowledge of right and wrong, and they sewed fig leaves together and made themselves aprons. They sought to cover up their nakedness. Verse 8, and they heard the voice of the Lord God walking in the garden in the cool of the day, and Adam and his wife hid themselves from the presence of the Lord God amongst the trees of the garden. Never before had Adam and Eve hidden themselves from God, but now they hide. Why? Because of fear. They were afraid, because now they realize they have disobeyed God. Before, they did not know fear. Before, they did not understand fear. But now, they're fearful, and they're afraid, and they're trying to cover up their sin, and they're trying to hide their wrongdoing. And so, the first game of hide-and-seek begins. Man hiding from God, and God seeking man. And so we see, they heard the voice of the Lord God walking in the garden in the cool of the day. As Adam, or God, came walking through the garden, he called out, Adam, Eve. Always before, they'd run to meet the Lord, but this time they hid from the Lord. And Adam and his wife hid themselves from the presence of the Lord amongst the trees of the garden. And the Lord God called unto Adam and said unto him, Where art thou? Where art thou? God was seeking man. And beloved, today God is seeking to save mankind from his sin. Jesus said that he came to seek and to save that which was lost. Beloved, the Lord God loves you. The Lord God loves me. There was a day many, many years ago in 1941 when as a small boy I realized that God loved me, that God was seeking me. And I, that day, September the 7th, 1941, that I opened my life to Jesus Christ. I asked him to come in and forgive me for my sin. And beloved, he heard my feeble cry. He sent the Holy Spirit into my spirit, and I became a new person. I received the gift of eternal life, and my life has never been the same. That glorious day when Jesus took my sin away. How wonderful, how fulfilled, how meaningful life has been since that day when I received the Lord Jesus Christ as my personal Savior. And so, beloved, God's calling you. And even now, when I'm speaking to you, perhaps there's a strange feeling that you have inside. That's the voice of the Holy Spirit of God speaking to you, seeking to draw you to a personal faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, trying to bring you to that place where you will open your life and cry out, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. I believe, Lord Jesus, you died for my sin, that you were buried, that you arose from the grave. And right now, Lord Jesus, I ask you to come into my life, to forgive me for my sin. I believe that you and you alone can deliver me and set me free. I believe that you alone are the way, the truth, and the life. I believe that you, Lord Jesus, died in my place, that you were buried, and that you arose again, and that you live today, guaranteeing my salvation. Beloved, if you'll just pray a simple prayer, you don't have to include everything I've said. All you need to do is just cry out to God and tell Him you know you're a sinner, and you believe that Jesus died for your sin, that He was buried, that He arose from the grave, that you invite Him to come into your life, and you're willing to turn from everything else to follow Him and serve Him, to repent of your sin, which means to turn around from the way you've been walking and to follow Jesus. He'll hear your prayer, beloved. He'll come into your life. He'll transform you. He'll send His Holy Spirit into your spirit to give you that glorious gift of salvation, eternal life, forgiveness of sin, and to bring you into God's family. And you will become my brother or my sister in Christ. And so, beloved, won't you ask Him to come in? They heard the Lord God calling. He's calling to you today. He's saying, "Where are you? Won't you open your heart? Won't you let me come in?" And so Adam saw that he could not hide from God. And he said, "I heard thy voice in the garden, and I was afraid," verse 10 of Genesis 3. "I was afraid because I was naked, and I hid myself." I hid myself. Yes, beloved, he had disobeyed God, fear had entered in, and now he was trying to cover up his sin. In verse 11, the Lord God said, "Who told thee that thou wast naked? Hast thou eaten of the tree whereof I commanded thee that thou shouldest not eat?" How many times, beloved, you and I betray our sin by our own words, by the things that we say. And so does Adam admit, "Yes, Lord God, I did wrong"? No, he doesn't say that. Notice verse 12. "And the man said, The woman whom thou gavest to be with me, she gave me of the tree, and I did eat. And the Lord God said unto the woman, What is this that thou hast done? And the woman said, The serpent beguiled me, and I did eat. And the Lord God said unto the serpent, Because thou hast done this, thou art cursed above all cattle and above every beast of the field. Upon thy belly shalt thou go, and dust shalt thou eat all the days of thy life. And I will put enmity between thee and the woman, and between thy seed and her seed." Till next time, goodbye.